That's a process that would take millennia. Eons, for goodness sake.
That's the time scale for planetary development, Craig said. Just like old Carl Sagan used to say, billions and billions of years.
It's also the time scale for evolutionary development of life forms, Fuchida added.
Jesus and all his saints, muttered Trumbull. It's just like Lowell said, this planet is dying.
Lowell was the one who saw canals?
Stacy Dejerova asked. With a nod, Trumbull replied, he thought he saw canals and proposed that Mars was inhabited by intelligent creatures who were struggling to stay alive.
Aren't we all?
Trudy quipped.
All what?
Struggling to stay alive. No, seriously, Trumbull said. Lowell's canals were mostly eye strain and optical illusion, but his basic idea was that Mars was losing its air and water. The whole planet was dying.
Trudy Hall said in a hushed voice, and that's exactly what we're finding.
The lichen are struggling to stay alive, Jamie said, but they're running out of the resources they need.
Using up the hydrates in the rocks.
Dying off slowly.
But dying.
Or going into a spore state, Trumbull reminded them. Suspended animation, waiting for better conditions to arise so they can swing back into life again.
How long can they stay that way? Craig asked.
Fuchida said,
spores from the age of dinosaurs have been revived on Earth.
Millions of years, then.
Tens of millions.
Spores survived on the moon's surface, Dejerova pointed out, despite vacuum and hard radiation.
Lunar spores? Trumbull asked.
Spores we brought with us without knowing it,
the cosmonaut answered. They were waiting on the old Apollo hardware when we got back there more than 40 years later.
Didn't they decontaminate the Apollo hardware before they took off for the moon?
Yes, certainly. But that didn't kill all the bugs. They're very tough.
Craig snorted disdainfully. Makes you wonder what we're carrying around with us, don't it?
The important thing is, Jamie said, that the lichens seem to be indicating that life was once much more abundant on Mars.
And now it's dying out.
They all nodded in agreement, all around the table. Jamie thought, Mars is dying. Once life was thriving here. Once there were intelligent Martians who built cities for themselves up in the cliffs. I know it. I've got to get out there and prove it.
Dex Trumbull watched the expression on Jamie's face and knew exactly what was going through the Navajo's mind. He's building a theoretical house of cards to prove to himself that the mirage he saw in that niche in the canyon was a structure built by intelligent Martians. Keeping his opinion about that to himself, Dex sat out the rest of the dinner table discussion as it rambled on, people repeating themselves, thinking out loud, taking wild stabs of guesses just for the joy of hearing themselves talk. He stayed for it all, not wanting to be the first to walk away from the gabfest. At last, though, Jamie tapped his wristwatch and suggested they clean the table and go to sleep. Dex smiled inwardly. He always says go to sleep, never go to bed. Wonder how long it's been since he's gotten himself laid. Hell, it's been too damn long for me, and he tries to carry himself like some kind of Navajo holy man. A saint, that's our noble leader. Saint Jamie of Mars. Still laughing to himself, Dex went to his quarters and booted up his laptop. Dad should have answered my last message by now. Sure enough, there was a communication from his father, and one from Mom, too. A lot longer than Dad's. Dex ignored his mother's message and called up his father's gaunt, austere image on the laptop screen. He looks like an ice sculpture, Dex thought. Cold and hard. Inhuman. Dad was in his office, obviously. Dex could see the Boston skyline through the window behind his desk.
Dex, I think this idea of recovering the old Pathfinder hardware is all right. I've already contacted a few select individuals and started their glands salivating. We could clear a very tidy little bundle on this deal.
Say good work, Dex, he thought, or I'm proud of you, son. But the elder Trumbull went on.
Now I know this scheme of yours is not without its risks. I've checked with the people who know about these things,
and they tell me it's technically feasible, but on the risky side. If anything goes wrong, there'll be very little chance of getting help.
That's right, Dad, he answered silently. You're always saying I've never risked my butt at anything. I've always had it easy. So now I'm going to show you how wrong you are about me.
For that reason, I want to make certain that the people picked for this mission are the least needed for the success and safety of the expedition. Get Dr. Waterman to send that Mexican astronaut, Rodriguez, and the Texan, what's his name? Craig, isn't it? They'll get along well together, and they won't be that big a loss if anything happens to them.
Dex stared at the little screen wide-eyed. You don't know shit, Dad, he muttered. You just don't know anything about anything.
But his father was saying, Under no circumstances are you to go on this mission. Do you hear me, Dex? I absolutely forbid it. You stay where it's safe. Let the others do the work. You take the glory.
Morning. Sol 21. 3 weeks on Mars, said V.J. Schechtar. We should have a celebration tonight.
Jamie was sitting on a spindly-legged stool in Schechtar's infirmary, the top of his coveralls pulled down, a blood pressure cuff wrapped around his left forearm, and half a dozen medical sensor patches adhering to the skin of his chest and back. The first expedition stayed 45 sols, he said. Let's wait until we've broken their record.
You're not much fun, Jamie.
V.J. made a face, somewhere between a pout and a grin. Or better yet, wait until we've got something more to celebrate than a date on a calendar. V.J. glanced at the monitor screens that were reading Jamie's pressure, pulse, temperature, and skin pH. When she looked back at Jamie, her eyes were dancing.
Well, she said, Christmas is coming, on Earth.
Fine. We can celebrate Christmas.
No tree.
We'll make one out of aluminum, or plastic. She began peeling off the sensor discs.
You're boringly healthy, mate. Skin pallor's not so good, though. You ought to spend more time under the sun lamps.
I could go into the airlock without a suit, he suggested, grinning as he pulled up his coveralls and wormed an arm into a sleeve.
The UV's a bit intense for a suntan in there, she said.
Never thought a guy with my complexion would need a sun lamp, Jamie said.
What about me?
You've got a permanent tan.
Yes, I found that out the first time I went to a chemist's shop and tried to buy flesh-colored band-aids.
Jamie looked at her closely. There was no trace of rancor in her expression, just the opposite. You're all smiles this morning, Jamie said, sealing up the Velcro front of the coveralls.
And you're all business, as usual.
That's my job.
You could use some relaxation, she said. All work and no play, you know.
Jamie thought it over swiftly. Want to take a walk?
Outside?
Where else?
Trudy jogs through the dome every day. She's got a regular route all pegged out.
No, Jamie said.
I mean outside. Do you think we should?
I've got some free time late this afternoon, just before dinner. Want to take a stroll with me?
I'd love to.
I'll bet you haven't been outside since the day we landed, Jamie said lightly.
Oh, no. That's not so. Dex and I went out a couple of times. Not since he's gotten so busy planning this Ares Vallis excursion, of course.
Of course, Jamie replied, feeling deflated.
V.J. giggled. Dex was trying to convince me that we could both fit into one hard suit.
Was he? Jamie growled. She was grinning broadly at him.
What do you think, Jamie? You're a bit heftier than Dex. Do you think we two might snuggle into one suit?
Jamie was at a loss for words until he remembered an old line that one of his university classmates had told him about. V.J., don't let your mouth write a check that your body can't cash. For once, she was speechless. Grinning now, Jamie said, 1600 hours. I'll meet you at the lockers, okay? She made a military salute.
Aye, aye, sir.
Dex Trumbull was still seething over his father's command. The planning for this excursion out to Ares Vallis was eating up more and more time, especially now that they were testing the guidance system for the fuel generator's rocket booster. Jamie had okayed a serious change in Dex's personal schedule, and Craig